AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Beko.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. It's been about 5 hours since a gunman shot five people at a Midtown Atlanta medical office, killing one, wounding four, three of them critically. Police say they know who they're looking for, and Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens is telling residents to be careful if they think they see him.
You know that we are dealing with someone that is armed and dangerous. This is a deadly situation. This individual conducted an act that we want to make sure that you know that if you see him, do not approach, but you are to call 911.
In Montgomery County, Texas, the wife of the man accused of gunning down five people nearby last week is in jail.
You are charged with hindering the apprehension of a fugitive.
Prosecutors say she helped her husband escape and hide after the killings. A friend has also been arrested. This is Judge Randy Ellisor.
The other gentleman that was arrested was charged with possession of marijuana at this time. His bond was set at $5,000.
The accused gunman is being held on $7.5 million bond. Investigators say a convicted sex offender killed the six people whose bodies were found in Okmulgee, Oklahoma, then killed himself. Police Chief Joe Prentice says the gunman shot all of his victims in the head.
I don't know that I would use the term executed. I believe that McFadden shot all of the other deceased.
Prentice says he doesn't know what McFadden's motive was. It's going to take more time to get inflation back down to 2%. That from Fed Chair Jerome Powell as he announced another interest rate hike to try to slow down the economy. Here's CBS's Skylar Henry.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell announced a quarter of a percentage point increase, pushing a key benchmark rate to the highest level in 16 years in an effort to bring down inflation.
We remain strongly committed to bringing inflation back down to our 2% goal.
Inflation is now at 5%, way down from the 9% jump last year.
I've definitely noticed the prices going down a little bit recently with certain items.
Wall Street's reaction was a roller coaster ride, with Dow closing down 270 points, the Nasdaq losing 55. You may have seen video purported to be that drone attack on the Kremlin. The question is, is it real? CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. can't verify the alleged drone attack on the Kremlin.
I can't in any way validate them. We simply don't know. Second, I would take anything coming out of the Kremlin with a very large shaker of salt.
In an interview with the Washington Post, Ukraine has denied any involvement and claims it's another attempt by Russia to justify further attacks on its country.
This is CBS News.
Clean dishes, clean planet. Save $200 in gift card rebates on eligible Beko dishwashers. Visit Beko.com/US-EN for
The Sha 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. University Wisconsin Health and Unity Point Health Meritor are ending their mask requirements. Unity Point says the public health environment surrounding the coronavirus is getting better. Republican lawmakers are taking 545 of Governor Evers' state budget proposals off the table. The Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee took the first votes on the spending plan yesterday. Senator Dewey Strobel says non-fiscal items like free school lunch and Brewer Stadium maintenance don't belong in the spending plan.
When you go from a $7 billion surplus to a $4 billion deficit in 2 years, that's just crazy.
The budget debate is expected to play out for several more weeks. In sports, the Rockies beat the Brewers last night 3-2. Eric Lauer starts tonight for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Love the outdoors, but lack the gear to explore it? River West Outdoor Pro Shop has everything you need. Rock climbing, snowshoeing, kayaking, and more. Don't know what you need? Come visit the shop located in the basement of Milwaukee Turner's at 1034 North Velar Phillips Avenue. Their friendly staff will help you find what you need. For questions and hours, call 414-272-1733, extension 16. 414-272-1733, extension 16. Have fun on the lake this summer. Treat yourself and find the watercraft you want at Action Boathouse Showroom just south of 59 on 164 in Waukesha. Check out the fun and versatile Sea-Doo Switch with its powerful Rotex Gen engine. Action Boathouse Showroom also has a selection of luxury fishing boats or pontoon boats from seven top USA manufacturers. The team at Action Boathouse Showroom is excited to help you launch into the sun this season and onto the lake. Action Boathouse Showroom, just north of 59 on 164 in Waukesha.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kristen.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers.
Today we're going to be spending time on a topic we have been wanting to talk about for months, the paid caregiver crisis. This is different from the family caregiver crisis, but they are very intertwined. It's important for us to distinguish them, though, so that we can make really concerted and effective advocacy efforts. So we are joined tonight with an expert on this topic, Beth Swedeen, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities.
Yes, and thank you, Beth, for joining us today. Before we dig in, I just want to share a few startling statistics, because I'm all about those darn statistics, regarding the paid caregiver profession and why everyone, regardless if you're a caregiver or not, should be concerned about this. And the first is, in 2022, 28% of residential family caregiver positions were left unfilled.
I'm going to just correct you, Liza. It wasn't family. It's 28% of resident facility caregiver positions. So just to help people understand, that means if you've got somebody who you want in a nursing home or an assisted living or one of those rehab places, 28% of those positions are empty right now.
Yes, my bad. And when you compare that to the 3.5% current unemployment rate nationally, it's alarming.
Yeah.
And the other is 18,000 Wisconsinites sought services from a long-term care facility but were denied or delayed due to staff shortages. So could you imagine being in the position where you needed care and they say, get in line, there's only 17,999 people behind you.
I know, exactly. It's shocking.
It is. And on that note, I want to welcome Beth Swedeen from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, who has been a leader in the state for advocating on this issues. Beth, those statistics are alarming to everyone. Can you tell listeners why this is a societal issue that everyone, regardless if they're a family caregiver or not, needs to get behind?
Sure. Thanks, Liza and Kristen, for having me on your show and for shining a spotlight on this really, it's a crisis that has hit Wisconsin, but is hitting our country nationally. And quite frankly, it has to do with the fact that more and more people in our country and in Wisconsin need care every year, and the labor market isn't keeping pace. So we just don't have enough of those working age people, 18 to 59, who can support, you know, not just older adults, but people, children with disabilities and children and adults with disabilities and others. So there, it's a very mixed population. In my field, people with disabilities are living much longer than they ever have before. And so they're going to need a lifetime of care, you know, or support. So maybe from childhood on into their 70s. So that's something that our society just has not set itself up to do. So that's the problem. And then on some of the things that you talked about, the wages, the benefits, the lack of status, the social isolation of being a caregiver, you know, in someone's home where you don't have colleagues and you don't have camaraderie, all of those contribute. Just to add to the statistics, in-home workers in Wisconsin make $13.53 an hour on average. So $3 to $4 less than retail right now. And 40% have some sort of benefit, and that's it. So wow. Less than half have benefits.
Ouch.
So I think, you know, that's a perfect storm to show what a crisis we're in.
Definitely. And before we talk more about the crisis, I want to just back up a step and have you explain to listeners what the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities is, how it's funded, and what your specific role is in it, Beth.
Sure. Thanks for that question. We are federally mandated through a piece of legislation called the Developmental Disabilities Act that was signed into law by John Kennedy to look after the best interests of and advocate for people with the most significant disabilities in the state. So there is a border council like ours in every state and territory, and they get a small amount of dollars from the federal government. And then our board and every council is, those members are people living with lived experience with disability. So we have a board of about 32 people, 26 were appointed by the governor, and they're living with disability or are a caregiver or family member of someone with a disability. We're charted with going out across the state, figuring out what the biggest issues and problems are, and then developing a plan, and then using advocacy, and pilot projects like small grants, innovation things to test new ways to do things, and then advocate and serve as a policy advisor for the governor, the legislature, and state agencies.
Wow.
So it's kind of a big role.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like you have much to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a small staff of 7 full-time people. But really, you know, our volunteer board members, they're the ones pounding the pavement in the communities and coming back to us and telling, you know, us what is most important. And this caregiver crisis is at the top of the list throughout the state.
Definitely. Well, and as the executive director of that, Beth, I just want to thank you from a personal standpoint, because with a daughter with developmental disabilities, I have benefited directly, as has Nicole, from the board and its work and yours individually.
Same.
Well, thank you.
Yes, same. And I just wanted to clarify for listeners, because you are a part of an organization that serves people with disabilities, that this issue that we're talking about, the caregiver crisis, impacts all people requiring care. They may rely on paid caregiver support, such as elder care, those with chronic health conditions, veterans. I mean, you could even throw child care in the mix, correct?
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, for sure.
So all of this is just different people that are getting impacted by the fact that they need some additional support. And for a long time, that was a family member, right? But as you pointed out, we didn't have people with developmental disabilities living as long as they are today. We didn't have people in general living as long as they are today. So what was a family role that would be a much shorter role back, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, definitely 20 years ago, is now getting extended longer and longer and longer. The family can't respond to it. And so what we're trying to talk about here is that people then were hiring folks in the last, I don't know, what do we want to say, decade or two? But now that role is not something, that job, I guess, is something that's so hard to fill because of some of the stuff you've already touched on.
And I would add to that too, that there was the role has changed through the years, I would think, to some degree, right? The amount of medical care, the amount of involvement, you know, it just seems much more intense, complex than it was in decades past.
Right. And if you want to do a historical perspective, 50, 60 years ago, we had 10,000 people with disabilities living in institutions. And so that was part of the reason they weren't living very long, quite frankly, was because the institutional care was not supportive of, a vibrant life or even the basics, right? And so there weren't as many families caring for people because they were told by medical professionals to put their loved one in an institution. So we have that sort of dark chapter in every state's history. But I think, to your point of who's impacted by this, yes, we know 90-year-old caregivers who are caring for a 65-year-old son or daughter with a disability. We also, though, know, a lot of people in their 30s and 40s who are caring for children with disabilities, even young children, and they're also caring for their aging parents. Mm-hmm. So this just hits so many different people. And, it really gets to the heart of Wisconsin, whether we want to have livable communities or not, because as so many people are assuming caregiving roles, they're leaving the job market. And we just did a survey with the Survival Coalition of 20 disability organizations. The data is just in, 270 people responded. And I think it was 63% have reduced their work. Their professional work. So, or quit entirely. So this is, employers are saying we can't find talented people. We have seven people on our staff. We just lost somebody to a caregiving issue. Wow. So it's a crisis in their own family and they had to leave. So this is hitting everybody. It's not just the families who have that loved one. It is an economic issue. It's a social issue. It's a justice issue.
Great point. And I know that one of the things I want to make sure is clear for our audience is the use of language, right? And so when we're talking about a family caregiver, we're talking about somebody who's taking care of someone who's in their family, right? They may or may not get paid, most of the time not. But tonight, what we're asking for you to give us insight on is the paid caregiver. And I know there are words that are used like home health care provider, respite provider, direct care worker. When we're talking about the paid caregiver crisis, can you explain some of these different roles being referred to?
Right. So most people with disabilities and older adults want to stay in their homes and their communities, right? Like they don't want to go into a nursing home or an institution if they don't have to. And so many of the supports over the last couple decades have really altered to be able to support that kind of lifestyle. So we're talking about people who may come in and do some supportive home care, some light cleaning, some shopping, some housekeeping, or just be the watchful eyes, to make sure that nothing is amiss, right? So it might be as little as 10 hours a week. It could, and then there are people who need round the clock support. They have complex health issues, but they want to live at home. They don't want to be at a nursing home or an institution. So those are the kinds of folks. But then there are also people who support people with disabilities on their jobs, who help them find jobs and then support them to be successful on the job. There are people who do, a few little medical things or maybe just hygiene things. So it's a very wide range of folks involved in the caregiving situation.
Thank you for pointing that out, because I didn't want listeners to be confused when it comes to what is a caregiver and what are those roles. One may think that it only really is something that is a problem in the hospitals or something that is a problem if you're dealing with medically frail or, people that need a lot of care. But it is a large range and across the board. You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been talking with Beth Swedeen from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities about the paid caregiver crisis. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how we can address this problem going forward.
Thank you for listening to your local civic
media. Just no matter what.
Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Madison, tune in every weekday from 11 to 2 on Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM for the Tom Harpin Program. Join the show's conversations because our democracy is not a spectator sport. Mad Radio, Madison's home for news talk radio.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Weather in a Moment is brought to you by Chad's Design Build. Building a better world, one remodeled home at a time. Reach out today by going to chadsdesignbuild.com to learn more. Again, that's chadsdesignbuild.com.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast.
Lows dip down to about 40 tonight. Under mainly clear skies, winds out of the southwest around 5 miles an hour. Mainly clear again tomorrow, highs around 68. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow night, lows around 50. Cloudy skies, low 70s Friday and Saturday. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday. Chance for scattered showers Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
Kristen Voss, and I'm here with my co-host, Liza Hellenbrand, and we are trying to bring Beth Swedeen from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities back in. We're having a few technical difficulties. Our fabulous producer, Evan, is on the job to get it taken care of. And what we've been talking about so far is the paid caregiver crisis. And I think what's been most important to distinguish in this first segment is that the paid caregiver is different from the family caregiver. So, Liza, how would you explain the difference to somebody walking down the street? What's a family caregiver versus a paid caregiver?
Oh, I didn't know we were going to get, quizzed
on this. Of course. You know I'm a teacher at heart.
Right. Well, a family caregiver is a family member, typically, that is taking care of a loved one that typically is not being paid. And a paid caregiver, of course, is that, somebody that is getting paid to support someone. And one thing that I wanted to clarify in the first segment is that this could be in a large range of capacities, right? It is, so it could be, like Beth had mentioned, a job coach, somebody coming in with helping with meals or laundry, personal care. And, you know, for us, it was primarily respite care, you know, giving us a break from the responsibilities of being a family caregiver, and quite frankly, giving our son a break from us.
Right. Well, that was a really profound point that was made to me when we got some funding for Nicole to get respite care. And a lot of the camps that she goes to are also looked at as respite care. And when I said, yeah, these are just great, this makes it so that I can like get through the next day, her consultant looked at me and said, and you know what? It makes it so that Nicole can get through the next day too, because right? She also needs a break from you, which I do think is a really important thing for all of us to recognize when we're talking about this paid caregiver position. These are people who have big hearts, right, who have interests in social work, who have interests in occupational therapy, physical therapy. Many of them are young people, you know, who are students, but want to see some type of future for themselves.
Right.
And they do have a special place in their heart for people with disabilities, whether it's physical, developmental, whether it's veterans. And a lot of times it's because there's been experience in their own family, right? It might be an aunt, an uncle, a cousin. And The problem is that they don't want to go into these jobs now because, as Beth pointed out in the last segment, the most that they're getting paid or the average wage is $13.
Yeah,
and
$13.52.
Yeah. Right. And we're advertising at Qdoba. We're advertising at, you know, JCPenney's for Target, I think, is up to $15.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about, again, dissing those positions. It's just practical matters. Economics is economics.
Right, right. And not only the math, look at you know, some of the other components that can go into it. This can be an emotional job. It can be a strenuous job, you know. So, yeah, why not just sit behind a counter, right, and push buttons? But we are glad to have Beth back with us now. Sorry about that glitch, Beth. But we were talking about the lack of pay and benefits is really being one of the driving forces in this caregiver crisis. And I just wanted to ask, what is your organization advocating for to address the issue around pay and benefits?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think that a lot of folks don't understand that that the pay in our long-term care systems is really controlled in large part by our state legislature. And we are in a state budget season right now where the governor has proposed a budget and now the Joint Committee on Finance is making some changes to that. And then they, you know, eventually have to come together and agree on something by July 1st. So the timing is really critical right now for everyone to pick up the phone and call their legislators. It doesn't matter whether those legislators are on the Joint Committee on Finance or not, because all the legislature is set up to have communication, you know, between every legislator and that Joint Finance Committee. And what we're saying is don't call once, call many times and say, can you commit? Can you commit to an investment? Can you commit? Where are we in discussions about an investment to significantly change the rate structure so that people can get paid what the true cost of care is? And I think the true cost of care is much higher than $13.52 an hour.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. And in addition to increasing the pay for paid caregivers, there are other proposals out there to address the paid caregiver crisis. One is to expand the Family and Medical Leave Act, which has already been stripped by the Republicans from the current budget. But can you tell us what this is and how it could help the caregiver crisis situation?
Yes, the governor's budget did two things around family and medical leave that were critical. One was expanded the definition of what a family member who could take leave is. And so it went way beyond, you know, parents and then adult children, and went to grandparents and grandchildren and sisters and brothers and cousins and anyone who really is taking on that responsibility. So that's important because families don't, you know, they don't look all the same. And so different people take different responsibilities in a family. So that was great. But the other part was that it would provide funding to keep that person's wages in the job, or at least a percentage of them, in place, so that the person isn't having to make a horrible decision of either having to quit their job entirely or, you know, having to go into poverty, basically, to be a caregiver. So that's why we think that it's a really important aspect. And the state of Minnesota just recently, I believe, passed something very similar to it. So it's not an unheard of thing. And it's recognizing the increased need. That's another issue for folks who live along that Minnesota border. Their hourly rate for their direct support workers are $2 or $3 an hour more than ours. And now they're going to have, you know, this family medical leave. So again, when I talk about livable communities and where are you going to choose to live, especially as more and more people have options on where they live, you know, we want a state where you can go into any community and feel like your family's needs are met.
Exactly.
Exactly. And can you explain how expanding Medicaid would help?
Well, there's two big reasons that we support Medicaid expansion as a way to directly address this crisis. One of them is that many, many family caregivers right now are on Medicaid because they are making so little money that that their wages qualify them for Medicaid. And then there are other professional direct care workers who are working, you know, a certain amount of hours so that they can get their Medicaid. So that's one. But the other is the millions of dollars it would bring in to up wages.
Beth, we'll come back and hear about that in just a moment.
Madison.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Atlanta police say 24-year-old Deion Patterson is on the run after fatally shooting one person and injuring four others inside the waiting room of an Atlanta medical facility. KJ Johnson was nearby.
We didn't really know what was going on until we saw the television, but we did hear some popping noise that we didn't know what the popping noise was, so originally we just ignored it.
Francisco Oropesa is charged with five counts of murder in the shooting deaths of his Texas neighbors. His wife is accused of helping him hide. San Jacinto County Justice of the Peace, Randy Ellisor.
Between my law enforcement and also being a justice of the peace, this is by far the worst case that I'm personally familiar with. It's a sad commentary on human society.
The Federal Reserve reinforces its fight against high inflation by raising its key interest rate by a quarter per a point to the highest level in 16 years. Fed Chair Jerome Powell says on pausing rate hikes.
Looking ahead, we'll take a data-dependent approach in determining the extent to which additional policy firming may be appropriate.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mantner. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss wants to eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion offices at public universities. Voss telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, quote, if they want to increase their funding, they have to show they can prioritize things to grow the economy, not grow the racial divide, unquote. Voss says the offices are a waste of taxpayer dollars. A change in mortgage fees may hurt first-time homebuyers with good credit. The adjustments made Monday by the Federal Housing Finance Agency aims to make it easier for first-time home buyers with lower credit and less money to put down. The result is those with higher credit scores won't benefit from the best rates and the best terms. First-time buyers across the board seeing an increase in the amount they're paying for their homes in part because of these changes. I'm Jane Mantner. This is Civic Media News.
If you're tired of the government and economy only working for the wealthy, then it's time to join Our Wisconsin Revolution. Our Wisconsin Revolution's mission is to make Wisconsin a true democracy by challenging the establishment and pushing for policies that benefit the working class. Policies affecting our everyday lives, economics, the environment, and social justice. Restore education and bring fundamental change to Wisconsin and join Our Wisconsin Revolution today. Log on to OurWisconsinRev.com. That's OurWisconsinRev.com.
Hi, this is Lindsay Kynard at 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK The Shaw. Here are upcoming events happening in the area.
Check out the 2023 MIAD Senior Exhibition this Wednesday the 3rd from 10 until 5 at the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. It is free admission. Play Senior Bingo this Thursday the 4th from 10 to 11:30 at the Racine Public Library at 75 7th Street. Don't forget to celebrate Cinco de Mayo this Friday and celebrate in style with a lot of local specials throughout the city. On Saturday the 6th, enjoy over 50 vendors at the Waukesha Farmers Market in downtown Waukesha, 125 West St. Paul Avenue. That goes on from 8 a.m. till noon. And also this Saturday, celebrate spring with the Brookfield Civic Band and Chorus as they present a spring concert from 2 until 3. That's at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts, 262-781-9470 for tickets.
If you have an event you'd like us to share, let me know. Email me, Lindsay Kiner, at info@civicmedia.us.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with myself, Kristen Voss, and Liza Hellenbrand, and we've been talking with Beth Swedeen from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities about the paid caregiver crisis in Wisconsin. If you would like to join the conversation and tell us how the paid caregiver crisis has impacted you or a loved one, or if you have an idea on how to address the problem, give us a call at 844-967-2789. And I'll say that number one more time. 844 877-267-2789. Before we went to break, I was trying to ask Beth one of the biggest, hardest questions with only a little bit of time, and it's got to do with Medicaid, right? So Medicaid is this government program that helps us with insurance for people that are lower income, correct?
Right.
And what we need you to help us understand is that if we expanded Medicaid, what does that mean? That means bringing in more money, correct?
Correct. It's not it's expanding in two ways. It would raise the amount of money that people can make and keep their health insurance. And for many low wage workers, including caregivers, that means they could work more hours and still provide that insurance for their families.
Okay.
So let me just
interrupt you and make sure I understand this. So I'm Kristen. I'm a paid caregiver. I'm working in a nursing facility. Right now, in order to keep Medicaid, which is my insurance, because I don't get insurance at my job. So in order to keep Medicaid, I can only work, I'm just going to make this number up, but 20 hours a week. But I'm interested in working 30 hours a week. But if I do that, my income will tip me to the point where I will no longer be able to qualify for Medicaid, correct?
Correct. And so, we've estimated that the equivalence in Medicaid expansion would mean caregivers could work an additional 8 hours a week, or basically one full day a week.
Okay. And so
that's a lot of hours of care that could be provided. So that's one big reason. The second big reason is that Medicaid expansion also comes with a very large commitment, hundreds of millions of dollars of additional Medicaid funds that could be spent by the state on any eligible service. This could help us close that gap between the wages that are so low and what the true cost of care is. So, and it's going to take an infusion that's a significant investment in order to address this challenge. So there's two benefits that advocates see for Medicaid expansion. And I will say, I believe there are only 10 or 11 states left in the country who don't take it.
Right.
And a lot of it is recognized by other health providers like hospitals and nursing homes, that there is a distinct advantage for entire communities when expansion happens.
And
I think the last two states to get it are Mississippi and Louisiana. I mean, not exactly states that you would think would be taking Medicaid expansion.
And so we're saying that Wisconsin is one of the states that does not take Medicaid expansion.
Correct.
And so we're asking for all of the listeners and all of the people that are in our circles to advocate to the state legislature to think about and to open up this idea of taking this Medicaid expansion, because it will help in a lot of different ways, but particularly in the caregiver crisis, because it'll allow paid caregivers to work more, which is what we need because we have a shortage in hours, and they won't be at risk of losing their health care. Right. Their health insurance.
Right.
And we're also saying that we're not going to get this money from anywhere else. It's not like all of a sudden families are going to be able to afford, you know, thousands of dollars more to put their family members into nursing homes or assisted facilities. And so they're not going to be writing bigger checks. We need this infusion to come from somewhere, and it can come from the Medicaid program. And it's helping and happening in many, many other states.
Yes. That's right. And a third reason I will say is that, remember I talked at the beginning of the show about how many people have left the paid care the paid workforce and left their careers. Those are folks who are low income now. So they are eligible for Medicaid. So this allows some extra flexibility for them as well.
Right.
It seems like such a no-brainer. Gosh, that's just got to be so frustrating. Well, you know, when we talk about these kind of issues, I'm a big statistics nerd, but I know what really changes the hearts and minds of the people are the stories. And, you know, as I've read some of these advocacy pieces that the board and other organizations have put out, there are some heart-wrenching stories out there. Beth, can you share some of the stories that you've heard across the state on how the caregiver crisis is impacting people?
I'll share four, and these aren't stories I've heard. These are friends of mine. So this is how close it to home it is. I know somebody, I'm a colleague of hers. She's in her mid 30s. She has a bachelor's degree in communications, and she lives in her own apartment, and she's seriously considering a nursing home, middle 30s, considering a nursing home because she consistently can only fill half the shifts she needs in every week. And her mom just broke her leg. And so her mom was her backup caregiver. So that's one story in the Fox Valley. There's another story of a person in Madison. These are all people who've shared their stories publicly, by the way. Another person in Madison, I've seen her all the time. Both people use wheelchairs. Saw her at the farmer's market, see her at concerts. All of a sudden, I'm not seeing her. She's been living in a hospital for the last five months. Because she can't be discharged back to her home and there's no nursing facility that will take her that can meet her needs to keep her healthy and safe. So she is living in a hospital.
Wait, pause. She's living in a hospital, has been living in a hospital for 5 months and she doesn't need to be in the hospital.
No.
She could be.
She has complex healthcare issues, but those could be taken care of at home with skilled caregivers, which nobody can find,
and she
including
was.
the agency that she has tried to hire to get workers.
And she has been in that situation before. So before she had to go into the hospital, she was at home, and there were people that were skilled enough and paid to be able to come into her house and provide services. So she could.
She was losing them even then. She was losing them even then.
Okay, and
so
I
that's
just
another
need,
story.
But I need to just point out, Beth. We all know that staying in a hospital is ridiculously expensive. They kick people who've just had babies out. They kick people into like, you know, daytime surgeries where you should be at least overnight recuperating. They kick you out because it's so expensive. And so this is insanity that we have somebody who doesn't need to be in a hospital, who's stuck living in a hospital for 5 months because there's nobody who's able to take care of her. It's a female, correct? Take care of her at home. That's insanity to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Tell us the other two stories, please.
Another story was another person who moved to Madison, was very active in advocacy here, had a lot of friends, great network, and couldn't find care workers and is in a nursing home. She's in her 30s. She's living in a nursing home and she couldn't even get into a nursing home here. So she had to go back, you know, to a community that's more rural. To get into that nursing home. And then the fourth story, it's not a friend, but it's somebody that shared their story today where the spouse had to quit their job and stay home full time because their two children need supports, you know, outside of the school day. And they can't find any support, after school support. And now they're coming into summer, right? So, so there's not any school. And so the dad had to leave the job.
Wow. Wow. Well, and I know that the three of us all know each other and all have adult children with disabilities and have relied on paid caregivers and would be greatly impacted without them. Obviously not to the degree of the four stories you just shared, but it's really got my head spinning about what kind of vulnerability Nicole has if this crisis continues to get worse and something happens to me or her dad. And so I know for me that if we don't go to these, you know, extreme levels, paid caregivers have helped me just have some breathing space, have Nicole have some breathing space. They've helped her develop jobs and get supported at work. We've had paid caregivers that have helped become sort of safety support systems for her that have gone out into the community with her, and she's going to listen to them because they're young 20-somethings in a different way than that she's going to listen to mom or dad. And they really talk about how do you get on a bus? How do you not use a bus? How do you interact with strangers? Is it okay to hug the people in the Starbucks line? Probably not. And so that kind of paid support has been essential for Nicole to be where she is today. And I'm getting really choked up about the idea that other families who have younger kids aren't going to get these opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you know, the last thing that I want to do about, you know, when we're talking about the paid caregiver crisis is to talk someone out of considering this line of work.
No doubt.
I have been a paid caregiver in the past in a couple different capacities. It is a very rewarding job. It builds compassion. It builds empathy. And it really honestly just teaches you how to be a better human being. I don't think you can be a paid caregiver and come out the other end worse off for wear, you know? So, I know we're kind of in this position right now. Again, not anywhere near the stories that Beth had shared, but my son is going to be done with college soon. We would like some help with respite. We would like someone to come out and, you know, just take him out in the community. And, you know, like I had shared in the past, it's about giving him a break from me just as much as it is giving me a break from him. And, you know, as of right now, we got no one. So if you want to apply, you know where to find me. I'll use this time to plug a job opening. But I would like to ask both of you if you wouldn't mind sharing, you know, your story of how this crucial role has positively impacted your lives.
Well, I've already shared. So, Beth, I'm going to let you take it and I could keep talking. But, you know, how have you been positively impacted with paid caregivers?
Right. I mean, very similar to both of your situations. I appreciated, Kristen, that you started with your daughter. I would agree with my daughter as well that, like, paid caregivers have given her such a big life that, you know, nobody should be dependent on their mom forever, mm-hmm. you know, whether you have a disability or not. And the bigger the pool of support that you can garner, both natural in the community that's not paid and paid supports, really the bigger the life you can give that loved one, whether it's an older adult or a person with a disability or a kid. So we've had people who've connected her to natural supports and, you know, we've had a paid person who helped her find her church that she now goes to by herself and just all kinds of things, work, employment, like you said, and she lives in her own apartment. So she couldn't do that at all.
No.
And I couldn't do the job I'm doing if I was supporting her all the time.
Well, and Beth, you don't know this, so I get to do this publicly. You and your daughter have been a huge inspiration and role model for me and my daughter because many, many years ago, I saw you at a conference and I saw your daughter selling some of her jewelry. And I thought, huh, I don't think that Nicole's that much different. And how can I make sure that she has some of the opportunities that your daughter's had? You shared some stuff with me. I don't know if you remember, but you shared some organizations and some tips. I've been secretly stalking you.
Wow, Facebook. There's a lot of confessions
coming out here. I know,
there's a lot
coming out here, but on Facebook and stuff. And just watching both you and your daughter grow into the roles you're talking about. And I know you were one of the first people in our network of folks here on the west side of Madison that helped your daughter live independently with support from you guys. And that has been my, like, bright and shining star. So I'm getting chills. I want to thank you because you really have truly made an impact on mine and Nicole's life as people that we can aspire to be like.
Yes.
Well, and you know, that all goes back to caregiving, Kristen, because with adequate caregivers, the cycle continues, right? And we get more and more people who aspire to do more and more things and have bigger lives and have more connections and create better community. And then the communities are more receptive because more and more people who have differences are in them. So, you know, it's a spiral up. And it can be a spiral down when those supports aren't there.
Right. Which is why we just have to make sure that we get folks out telling their stories.
Yeah. And on that note, if you would like to call in and tell us your story, feel free to call at 844-967-2789. We've been talking with Beth Swedeen from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. When we come back, we're going to tell people about some of the amazing opportunities the board has for employers that are supporting people with disabilities in the workplace.
Record high energy and water costs, putting a squeeze on your fixed or With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 40. Southwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 68. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 50. Cloudy skies expected. Low 70s Friday and Saturday. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday. Chance for scattered rain showers Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
You've been listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with Kristen Voss and myself, Liza Hellenbrand. We've been talking with Beth Swedeen from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities.
The board is offering to businesses grant funds and technical assistance so that they can tap into new talent and learn best practices for finding, hiring, and supporting workers with intellectual developmental disabilities. Grantees will receive technical assistance from a BPDD, so that's the board, project consultant to plan and implement their hiring initiative. Deadline to apply for these grants is Wednesday, May 24th at 5 p.m. Beth, I want to give you an opportunity before we say goodnight to you tonight to just give a little plug for that grant or give a little bit more context for it.
Well, yeah, sure. We hear from businesses all the time that they would love to hire more people with disabilities, but they don't quite know maybe how to support them, or they don't want, you know, an outside agency coming in to provide that support that none of the other colleagues know. So we have this model called Partners with Business that helps businesses figure out the strategies to hire their own workers with disabilities and then how to support them naturally on the job so that like an outside job coach doesn't need to come in. And it's been really exciting to see businesses experience that success and realize what great workers people with disabilities can be and how little actual accommodation really needs to happen. And then there's some other strategies for funding it as well. And any business that applies and would be interested would get access to that information as well.
And then there's one more grant that I want to make sure that we mention, and those are for those who are involved with supported employment service providers. The board is granting funds for technical assistance to take new or creative approaches to reduce the need for job coaching. And that deadline is Friday, May 26th at 5 p.m. So Beth, I just want to ask, is there anything that you want to add to that one? And then where can people go to learn more or to apply for these grants?
Yeah, that is for, like you said, vocational agencies that are in the business of supporting people with disabilities on the job. And as we mentioned, the caregiver crisis, there just aren't enough staff for these folks to hire, right? So using different strategies to support their clients that don't cost as much because they are not, they don't cost as much, but they don't require as many staff is the aim for that. And it's especially helpful in rural areas where job coaches may drive like 20 miles, you know, to support somebody, and then they have to drive another 25 to their next client. So we're really encouraging people to apply for those. And yeah, it, all of our stuff is on our website, which is WI-BPDD, Board for People with Developmental Disabilities.org. Or you can just Google us, Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, and we'll pop right up for you.
And let's say the name of those two grants one more time, Beth.
Yeah, they're both called Partners with Business. One is for private businesses, for-profit businesses, and other are for the provider agencies that already are working with clients who have disabilities.
Yeah, and I wanted to share the one with the employment agencies because there may not be a lot of people from, you know, DVR or vocational agencies listening to the program tonight, but there are caregivers that have people supported by job coaches. So if they know about this, they can speak to the employer, they can speak to the job coach and see how they can make this transition.
Wonderful. Beth, thank you so much for the work that you do and taking time out of your evening to be with us. As you know, I've really seen you as this shining star, as I said last segment, and it's just been wonderful to be able to have you on the show and highlight your work and all that the board is doing. So thanks so much.
Thanks to both of you. It's a great program. Really appreciate your attention.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
And we have a group of four amazing UW student volunteers helping us this semester put together our gift boxes for caregivers, among many other things. So it is with great delight that we get to send one of these off in the mail tomorrow. And Kristen, I'm going to let you share Jenna's story.
All right. Jenna sent in an empowering story about her mother, Pam. She wrote, "My mom is amazing. 2 weeks after they moved into their new house, my grandpa had his first health incident that brought him into their home much sooner than they even planned. Lots of surgeries in Green Bay and Milwaukee and wound care along with a healthy diet, which 3 years later made him healthier than when he lived alone. Taking INR at home, drug refills, everything. I help when I can, but I have school and work. My mom should have been a nurse. She researches everything on grandpa and does what is best." She goes on to even write, "During all of this, my mom runs and works at her business full-time and the household along with my grandpa. She gets overwhelmed and tired, but for 5.5 years at 88, grandpa is healthier than he was on his own. He has some dementia issues, so that adds a little more. My dad works till 6 to 7 p.m. and he helps when he can, but my mom is the lead person for his dad." Jenna continues to write, "Mom has had no girlfriends or social life since 6 years ago because she puts grandpa and everything else first. Pam, you are amazing, and we can't wait to put your gift box in the mail with love. And if anyone else out there wants to nominate a special caregiver in your life, look for us on our website, www.empoweredcaregivercommunity.com.
Yes. And next week, we are going to be speaking with Love Inc. And I know, Kristen, that one is on your to-do list.
Yep.
Do you know what specifically they're going to be sharing with us, or are we keeping it a surprise?
No, it's really exciting. Love Inc., we've had on the executive director, but they are an organization that really provides support for adults with disabilities so that they can do more things in the community. And they're this kind of paid support that we've been talking about tonight. One of the primary programs that we're going to be hearing about is the Bridge Builder program. And Bridge Builders are people that are paid to help people with disabilities, young adults with disabilities, build bridges in their communities at things that they're interested in. So in Nicole's case, they've been going to On Board to play different board games. They've gone to the library. They help find different people that are peers that they can do social activities with. So we're going to be hearing about the Bridge Builder program and a few of the other initiatives that Love Inc. is taking around the state to support people outside of Dane County.
That Love Inc. just does so many amazing things. Yeah. But I just want to circle back tonight in this paid caregiver crisis. What is your biggest takeaway?
Wow. Really understanding how huge Medicaid is and how backwards our state is, that we are one of the few that's not taking that expansion. And yeah. I just find that criminal.
Not that I want to throw Mississippi under the bus, but come on.
I know, exactly.
I've heard that. We're Wississippi.
Really? I haven't heard that one yet, but now I can see where it fits. I mean, it is kind of scary. I never thought we'd be, and again, you're right, we shouldn't throw Mississippi or Louisiana under the bus, but I never thought we would be ranked behind
stuff. Given that we're a leader in this, right? You know, and we're a leader, I think, in the country in a lot of do-good ways. Mm-hmm. So it's disheartening to know that we are trailing behind and in a quote last.
But we can do this. And yes. We know that caregiving can be overwhelming and exhausting. So that's why we want to end each show with our positive note. You got this. And together we are stronger. So stay connected to the empowered caregiver community. Good night, everybody.
Democracy doesn't have to be boring. Founded by revolutionary German exiles in 1853, the Milwaukee Turners at Turner Hall offer gymnastics, rock climbing, yoga, meaningful forums, training, and countless ways to have fun and matter to Milwaukee. Whether you hang upside down or hang out, they've got you covered. Membership is only $35 a year. Be a part of Milwaukee's past, present, and future. Visit them at MilwaukeeTurners.org. That's MilwaukeeTurners.org. Or find them on Facebook or Instagram.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of artisan hearth buns and rolls on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best, and with several varieties to choose from, including Wisconsin brat buns, gourmet brioche, French, and onion rolls, the bakers of Artisan Hearth have the buns and rolls your family will love. Artisan Hearth, locally baked.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.